The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and dive into our Bible study. We've got a lot of ground to cover this morning. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 23, a very important psalm. I mean, all scripture is important, but a lot of you know Psalm 23. A lot of us have heard Psalm 23 at a memorial service, but there's so much packed into this passage that I believe we need for our transformation. We're in this journey called 50 Days of Transformation. And whether you are just getting on board or you've been on from the beginning, there's beautiful things to happen in each of us. We're going to be looking at all the key areas of our life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, socially, relationally, vocationally. We're going to be looking at a different area each Sunday from now till Easter, kind of looking at how God wants to transform us, all based on Romans 12:2, which says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation is what it's all about. We believe in it. It's part of our mission statement. We believe that God wants to be glorified through our transformed lives as we impact this world. And so we want to help you become the transformed people that God is calling each of us to be. And today we're going to be specifically looking at the area of our physical life. Now, I could stand up here and tell you the things that seem important and easy to spout off about how we all need to eat right and exercise, but I don't do either of those, so I'm not going to talk about them. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about stress. This morning when we were setting up, Larry, everybody say, hey, Larry. Larry came up to me and said, John, you know what? This stress stuff is just ridiculous. You know, stress isn't real. It's all in your head. I said, Larry, you should come up. That's my message today. You could just say that in 30 seconds, and we could say amen and be done. So you want to do that? Okay. All right, then I guess we got a two-hour message ahead of us. Today, we're going to be talking about stress. Stress has a real impact in our lives. Whether it's in your head or not, it affects our body. It affects our blood pressure. Stress can cause your heart to race, which has effects on your body. I mean, I'm stressed almost every time I get up here. Do you see the sparkles on my hands? They are constantly sweating because teaching it's one of the most nervous-making things in my life. It brings me a lot of stress. So why do you do it? Well, God wants me doing it. So I got to do it. But anyway, stress affects us. It causes adrenaline to pump through all your systems. And if you're not careful, too much stress can tear you up, wear you down, break your body down. It has lasting and devastating effects on our body. It may just be in our head, but it affects everything. There are seven things in our world right now, the seven top things that cause stress. Number one is worry. Anybody here worry? Two of you. Okay. I'm glad I'm in a worry-free zone. We're worried about something going wrong, losing something, something out of our control. There's so many things that we worry about. Number two, not only worry, but hurry. We live in a life that is all about go, go, go. We want it now, now, now. And 10 years ago when we were thinking about finally planning a church, I said, it's anywhere but here. It's just too busy here. Everybody's going to be stuck in traffic. We're never going to have time to connect with others. It's just always about getting the next thing done. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I was with family yesterday for a birthday dinner, and I'm sitting there looking at my watch. When's my water coming? What's going on? Why is this taking so long? And Brandy finally just said, John, just chill. Just enjoy being with the family. And we're so wired. I got things to do. I got places to be. And it can tear us down. Speed, that desire to get things done, it creates stress. Number three, crowds. We don't have many of those around here, so I'll just keep going. Crowds, more people, more stress. The urbanization of our world, 83% is the latest statistic. 83% of our world's population live in major cities, and at times it feels like they're all right here, doesn't it? Especially when you get on 95, doesn't matter what time of day, you're meeting crowds. Number four, more choices. You would think that more choices would be great. But more choices tear you up. I go to the grocery store. Brandy's like, get some toothpaste. And I go to the toothpaste aisle, and I'm like, where do I begin? I'm texting her, what kind of toothpaste do you want? Just pick one. I'm like, oh, there's 50 here. I'm so afraid I'm going to go home and bring it. Here's your toothpaste. She's like, why'd you pick that one? Go to Starbucks. I mean, some of you have it memorized. You know exactly what you want. But how many ways can you have coffee? Number five, loss of privacy. Everything we buy now is tracked. I was on Amazon the other day. I don't remember what I was looking at, but just yesterday I was reading an article about the greatest convention coming, the Star Wars convention, and on the side pops up the stuff I'm looking at Amazon. I'm like, how do they know? They're watching. They know everything. They're watching how many boxes of Pampers you're buying, and they're ready to tell you when you need to start buying Depends. Number six, pluralism. We live in a culture where the world is in our back door. I mean, backyard, everything is around us. There's cultures and people and systems and so many different ways of doing things and so many different beliefs and so many lifestyles and values and morals. And I can't say that. I might offend someone. And if I don't say the right thing here, I might offend someone. And we got all this going on, and it's just stress. Number seven, fear of the future. All these what ifs. You been there? Anybody here ever stressed? A couple of you, okay. Well, the rest of you can go to sleep while I talk to the two. Psalm 23, let's read it together. Growing up, you probably heard the King James Version. It's kind of near and dear to my heart. Anytime I think of the psalm, I think of those words. But here's the NIV for you real quick, the New International Version. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I shall not want. I shall not be without the things that I need." Verse 2. "He," that shepherd, the Lord, "he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and staff, they comfort me." Next page. "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy," was the word once come out of my mouth, "surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We're going to take this kind of verse by verse, and we're going to see how this isn't just some nice words, but there are ingredients here. There's instruction here on how to survive life and have a good physical life, how to deal with the stress in our life. So walk with me. First of all, Proverbs 14:30 says this, "Peace of mind makes the body healthy." The New Living Translation says, "A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life." So I want to give you seven spiritual habits for reducing stress this morning from the 23rd Psalm. Number one, we got to learn to look to God to meet all of our needs. So many problems come up in life when we look to things and circumstances and situations and people to meet our needs. We look to our job to meet our needs. We look to our bank account to meet our needs. At any moment, your job could be gone. Your contract could not be renewed. The company could be closed down. You have no control over that. There are tons of ways that we can lose money. A marriage, you could look to have your spouse meet all your needs, and a tragic situation comes and they're gone. Your spouse dies. No control there. Or maybe you go through a dark, terrible situation where there's a divorce. There's all kinds of things. It's been said we should never put our security in things that can be taken from us, because all of these things could easily go. But instead, we should learn to put our trust and our security in the only thing that can never be taken from us, and that is the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I am here. The sheep know my voice." Jesus wants to love on you as your shepherd. He wants to be there to guide you. He wants to use his rod, his staff, his little shepherd's hook to guide you and to care for you and to grab you when you're going in directions that may lead to your not your well-being. He wants to be there to guide you. And he wants to take care of your needs. We need to stop living in a way thinking that we can put things and people in our place, in our life, to meet all our needs. There's no one in your life that is going to meet your emotional needs the way you hope to be have them met. There's no one in your life that's going to meet your physical needs, your spiritual needs. The only person who can meet all of these needs is your Savior, your shepherd. Romans 8:32 says, "Since God did not even spare his own son for us, but instead he gave him up for us." He gave up the life of his son. Logically then, goes on to say, Romans 8:32, "Won't he also surely give us everything else that we need?" I believe that the first step to a stress-free life is realizing how much God truly loves us, how much we matter to him. And instead of looking to others and circumstances and situations outside our control, let us look to God for guidance, for instruction, for care. One word to sum this up is, let us learn to worship God in every area of our life. The number one antidote to worry is worship, putting him first. Isaiah 30:15 says, "The sovereign Lord says this, only in returning to me and waiting for me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength." Not in worry and anxiety, not in hard work and lots of planning, although there are times and places for that, not in self-motivation and personal, mental, positive attitudes, but in quietness and confidence, knowing who he is and what he has done is where we will find our source of strength and our salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. I will trust in God to meet all my needs. Number two, we need to learn to obey God's instructions about rest. How many of you need some rest? I believe there's a biblical mandate for Sunday naps. Just not right now. Psalm 23:2 says, "He makes me lie down." You know, sheep are so stupid, they won't rest when needed. They will keep walking and walking and wandering aimlessly until they just have a heart attack from just overwork. Many times a shepherd will literally have to force them to the ground to rest. You need to lay down now. And the truth is that God created our bodies to need rest. God could have easily made us and put us in this earth saying, you only got 100 years here. Make the most of it. You don't need to sleep. But instead, God wired us to need to sleep. You're going to spend a third of your life sleeping. If you live to be 100, that's 33 and a third years sleeping. Some of you are just trying to get 8 hours. That's a lot. But God wired us this way to need rest. He wired us to need to know and understand the importance of setting other things aside so that we can take time to pause and break and connect with him. It's in the Big Ten. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 34:21 says, 6 days are set aside for work, but every seventh day you must completely rest. Even during your seasons of plowing and harvest, you must observe a Sabbath day of rest. So if you're a tax accountant, even in April, you got to find a way to rest. If you're a retailer, even during the Christmas month, you got to find a way to rest. A farmer during harvest and planting season, still, you have to find a way to rest. For me, it's impossible to rest on Sundays. I'm here. We got stuff going on all day. Saturdays, I'm getting ready for Sunday. So I take Mondays off. I try to unplug completely. I heard a joke once. There was a man in a church trying to get a hold of his pastor on Monday. On Tuesday, the pastor finally got back in touch with the guy, and the guy was like, Pastor, I was trying to reach you all day on Monday. And he said, I'm sorry, I take Mondays off. And he said, well, Pastor, the devil never takes any days off. And the pastor said, do you want me to be like the devil? He said, if I don't take a day off, that's what you're going to get. God's wired us to need rest. So what should we do on our rest? First of all, on a day of Sabbath, you should number one, you should take time to rest. Rest your body. Take a nap. Find a way to just wind down. Relax. Get a hammock in your backyard and enjoy it. Just rest. Number two, refocus your spirit. It's a way of connecting with God. One word for this is worship. Find a way, like we're doing right now, coming together to worship together, to have our souls refreshed and refocused in alignment with Him. Number three, we take time to recharge our emotions. Do something you enjoy. Spend time with people you love, your family. Get together and eat good food and laugh about good things. And maybe start a hobby or get out and enjoy something. I'm going to trust in God by resting. Number three, we've got to take time to recharge our soul with beauty. Psalm 23, 2 and 3 says this, He makes me lie down in green pastures. One version says, in lush green meadows. And He leads me beside calm, quiet waters. He restores my soul. Have you ever wondered why God made the earth so beautiful? I mean, and this is its cursed state. Imagine how beautiful it was before the fall. I mean, God could have made our planet just like the moon, just gray and craters and dust. But have you ever just walked around and just been amazed? I grew up in God's country, otherwise known as Colorado, and it was beautiful seeing snow-peaked mountains year-round and panning for gold and beautiful rivers. And I lived a long time ago, apparently. But anybody here ever panned for gold? You can still do it. Canyon City, Colorado. It's awesome. Anyway, Estes Park, campgrounds, sitting around campfires with my dad and my family, watching beautiful stars. And God's creation is just beautiful. It's a display of His glory. And He gave it to us to enjoy it. Have you ever looked at the planets? I mean, I love planetary stuff and the new planets that have been found. But have you ever looked at our solar system, how different our Earth stands out? I mean, you've got all these planets that are, it's just orange and it's just pink and it's just red. But we've got all this color and beauty and blue and green, and it's just amazing. God's incredible. We should find joy and refreshment in the beauty that God gives us. So find time. I want to encourage you that there's a lot of ugliness in our world. A lot of it's due to sin and brokenness. I mean, some of us, the first thing we do when we wake up is we look at the news feed or we turn on the news, and if it bleeds, it leads, and we just don't need to start our day that way. We need to find, it's been said that if the way you start your day, the first 7 minutes of your day, sets the tone for the rest of it. So set your alarm clock instead of being, meh, 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 you know, find a song that's uplifting, that wakes you up with joy and refreshment of the beauty of who God is and how amazing He is. Philippians 4:8 says that you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true and noble, things that are reputable and authentic, compelling and gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful and not the ugly. So there's going to be ugly things in our world. We got to choose what we're going to think about. Because what we focus on will determine whether or not we raise or lower our stress. We need to make that affirmation that I'm going to enjoy God and the beauty that He has created. Number four, we need to go to God for guidance. Psalm 23:3 says, He guides me in the right paths for His name's sake. A leading cause of stress is indecision. being in those situations where you're not sure which way to go, which way to pick. And so many times our decisions are influenced by people who don't even matter to us. We're listening to people's, the pundits' opinions on news radio or whatever seems to be right in our culture. And we always feel this uneasy. Am I making the right choice? Am I making the right decision? When our first place we should go for guidance is in the one who made us. The one who has a purpose and a plan for our lives. The book of James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously and graciously and without criticism. So we need to find time to get alone and to get with God and to seek Him and say, God, I've got this situation. I need Your help. I need Your leading. And we take time to pray. We take time to listen to His voice through His Word. We take time to be still and know that He is God, and in that stillness, just take time to listen. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to godly brothers and sisters in Christ who are praying for you and want your well-being and want God's best for you. That's great, but let us go to God regularly. Let's make that a habit in our life that we go to Him. God will guide me at the right time. God knows what's in our future. He's already there. And you may not know what's going to happen next week or next month or around the road, but He's already there and He's ready to lead you. He's ready to guide you one step at a time. And He's not going to tell you what you should do next year. He wants to tell you what you should do today. So walk in that confidence and guidance, letting Him lead you. I will trust God to guide me. Number five, we need to learn to trust God in the dark valleys. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Another leading source of stress is loss, and we're all going to face loss. It rains on the good and the bad. We'll all go through many dark valleys. A loss of job, a loss of health, a loss of our mind. Loss of money, a loss of reputation, a loss of a loved one. And there are two reactions that we can deal with. We can either grieve or we can fear. And nowhere in Scriptures does it say grieve not. Nowhere in Scriptures does it say cry not. Nowhere in Scriptures does it say sorrow not. But you know what it does say? It does say fear not. Fear not is in the Bible 365 times, one for every day of the year. God is not a God of fear. God says, you will have suffering. As I suffered, you will as well, but I will with you. So fear not. I have overcome the world, and in Him we can overcome. He will be there with us through it. We've got to learn to deal with the stress in our life and grieve it in the right way. Sad to say that we prayed last week for Diane Gravis. We got word that she's battling a number of things. Her body's just breaking down. And the doctor said she had a month or two to live. This week, the family got news that it's more like a week to two. And she knows who Jesus is, but she's grieving. I prayed with her daughter. Her daughter Lisa came to me and said, John, I'm trying to be strong for my mom, but I'm losing my mom. I don't know what to do. I feel like I have to be strong and just hold it in. And that's many ways how we cope. We just feel like we have to deal with the stress of life just by shoving it down and keeping it contained. And it finds ways of working itself out, either by causing our health to go poor or ruining relationships around us. Grief is a good thing. It's God's pressure relief system in our lives. We've got to figure out ways to grieve. And if you've been through something hard and difficult in life and just shoved it and suppressed it and never grieved, then you're probably still hurting. And you need to find a way to let that grief come through in a healthy way, either by grieving with God or grieving with a friend or maybe a counselor in your life. But we have to learn to grieve. And He is there to help us grieve in the right way. Each of us are going to have shadows in our life. Shadows of death, shadows of debt, shadows of depression, shadows of discouragement. I remember growing up being afraid of shadows. I remember being little and young and calling from my mom when I was 18, real little. I remember being so scared. I'd lay in bed with covers up to my eyes and I'd see shadows and I'd freak out. I remember one night laying in my brother's room, having a sleepover with my brother before I was getting ready to leave to go to college. And I'm a strong, strapping young man, 18 years old, and I see a shadow in my brother's room, and it scared me so much that I couldn't contain myself, 18 years old, and I go, "Mom!" I'm not joking. My brother, sleeping in the bunk up above, he jumps out of bed, hits the ground in a nanosecond. You've seen my brother. You can see how crazy he can be. He grabs a baseball bat, and he's like, "What's wrong, John? What's wrong? What's wrong?" Was it? I just saw a shadow. Shadows can be scary, but shadows can't hurt. You can get hit by a truck, and that hurts, but if you get hit by the shadow of a truck, it's not going to really bother you. And oftentimes, shadows are bigger than the source. We've got to learn to not let the shadows take our attention and focus, because wherever there's a shadow, there's a source of light. And we need to learn to look to the light in our lives and instead of the shadow of depression, the shadow of discouragement, the shadow of stress, the shadow of debt, whatever the shadow is in your life, God is there to walk with you through that valley of shadows. And He is a light we need to learn to have our eyes on. David prayed this in Psalm 142:3. He said, "When I am ready to give up, when I have at my wit's end, when I don't know what else to do, He knows what I should do. He knows what you should do." Number six, we need to learn to let God be our defender. Another major source of stress in our life is conflict, opposition, and criticism. Let me just say it. There are going to be people in your life who don't like you. There are going to be people in our life who don't like the way we live, don't like the way we think, don't like the way we dress, don't like the way we sneeze. You name it. There are going to be people who don't like it. And some of us just want to go through life. "I don't want conflict. I don't want opposition. I just want everybody to be happy with me." That's going to wear you out. And sometimes the people who cause us that kind of stress are closest to us. Sometimes they're family members. And all they can ever do is criticize us and put us down. Our world is getting more and more rude, more and more conflict, and social media doesn't help. People are just blasting out anything they think is right and without giving any 2 seconds to think of how it might affect others. And how do we handle it? We don't. We let God handle it. Instead of getting pulled into that mess and firing back and seeking revenge and I need to say this, I need to set this straight. You know, sometimes it's better for us to be silent. When Jesus was arrested and brought before a mockery of a trial and criticisms were being thrown at him, he went silent like a sheep to slaughter. Because he knew where he stood. He knew the truth. We need to find peace and confidence in knowing that if we are walking with our Lord, even when the persecution comes and the heartache comes, God will take care of us. It says this in Psalm 23:5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." God is ready to give you what you need and prepare you and feed you and sustain you even in the midst of your enemies. Even in the midst of persecution and criticism, when the world is falling down around you, He is there in the midst to care for you and to give you your every need. David goes on to say, "You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." Psalm 18:1-2 says, "How I love you, Lord. You are my defender. You are my protector and my strong and mighty fortress. I am safe in you. You protect me like a shield." And I know sometimes it takes more faith and restraint to be able to let God fight your battles than you step in because we feel like I know how to set this right. many times will just make it worse. 1 Peter 4:19. So if you are suffering according to God's will, do you get that? Sometimes when we're in the center of God's will, there will still be suffering. So if you are suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you. God will take care of me. Number 7. We have to learn to expect that God will finish what he starts in me. Psalm 23:6 says this. Surely goodness and love, goodness and mercy, they will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house forever. We get overcome with the what-ifs in life. What if I lose my job? What if I let down so-and-so? What if everything goes wrong? What if, what if, what if? And we can choose to try to steer our life by all the what-ifs, or we can just go in confidence, trusting that Jesus is leading us, and what he began in me, he will complete in the end. One way that we can do this is we can pray and set goals. In Roman numeral page 6, at the front of your journal, is a place for you to be thinking about these challenges each week and to set goals, to pray, God, what do you want me to do? Is it that you want me to, for real, take a Sabbath day once a week? I don't know how I'm going to find a day a week in my life, but I'm committed to trying to find one Sabbath day a week. Or maybe it's, I have too much junk in my life. I'm going to shut off the news. I'm going to fast from now till Easter. I'm not going to watch the news. Some of you need to do that. What is it? What kind of goal is God wanting you to set to allow these principles to get rooted in your life so you can physically become the transformed person he wants you to be, getting rid of that stress and letting him lead you? Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus said this. He said, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you more work to do. No, God is there to give us the rest that we need. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A yoke, that wooden instrument that would be put between two ox that were plowing a field, a more experienced ox and a younger, inexperienced ox. And that experienced ox would show that younger one the way to walk and how to walk and the direction to walk. And Jesus says, come and get yoked with me. Let me show you how to walk through life. Let me show you how to plow those fields that need to be plowed. Let me show you how to handle the stress that is going to be there. Let me show you how to deal with the suffering. Let me show you and lead you through those valleys of the shadows in your life. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls in me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we learn to walk yoked with Christ, we will learn to move together in the same direction in life with him and at the same speed. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for being not a distant, removed God, but a loving and caring shepherd who wants to tend to our souls, who wants to release the stress in our life, who wants to sustain us and give us abundant and full life in you. Help us to learn to put our trust completely in every area. God, if there's some areas in our life that we're holding on to, we just feel like we can't let go, we got to do it our way, show us the release. Show us how we can trust in you. Help us to find life in you. Father God, I pray for those in this room who maybe their very first step is coming to even know that you want to be their shepherd. For those in this room who have been living life on their own apart from you and never really truly knowing who you are or how you want to be in their life, I pray that right here, right now, they would come to know you as loving Lord and shepherd of their life. If you're here this morning, I want you to know that God loves you. If you're here this morning and you've never heard those words, the scriptures tell us that in a moment, we can call out to Him and be transformed forever. We can call out to Him and release our sin to Him, that He died on a cross for us and shed His blood to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And at that moment we call out to Him, He begins to work in life to renew us and to make us anew. The scriptures call this being born again. And today your very first step might be to call out to Him to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your help to deal with the things that are in my life. I need to be made new in you. And the scriptures say that as soon as you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you will be saved. And this morning, if you put your belief in Him, you have the right to become His child. And He is simply waiting here with loving arms to be the loving shepherd of your life that you and I both need. And today you can start that journey anew with Him. If that's you, just call out to Him in these moments. Lord, come into my life. Make me new. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for offering forgiveness. Come in. Forgive me. Set me free from the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups that are in my life. Help me to find new life in you. And for those of the others in here, you know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe there's something that's been spoken to you this morning through the teaching, through the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about something you need to get right. Trust in Him. Give it to Him right now in these moments. Pray to Him and ask for a refreshment and renewal that only He can bring. Let Him lead you from this moment forward. As our worship team leads us in a time of closing, we have a time where we can just think about these things and ask God to help us to take steps forward. As a reminder, we remember that all of this is only possible because Jesus Himself lowered Himself. He allowed His body to be broken on a cross. The bread at these communion stations, a couple up front and some in back, is a symbol of Christ's body that was broken for us. We dip it in a cup of juice, a symbol of the blood that He shed for us to cleanse us and to set us free. And as you eat of this and taste of this cup this morning, let us remember what He did for us in our place so that we can live now for Him and lead others to know who He is and the love and the life that He can bring. So if you are ready, we invite you to come celebrate what God's done for us and leave refreshed to live for Him. If there's something in your life that's going on that you want to pray with someone about, I would love to pray with you. We have some prayer teams in the back and the sides of the room as well. Come and find one of us. Don't leave before you pray with one of us today. And if you gave your heart to Jesus, come let one of us know. We would love to celebrate that decision with you today. Father God, move among us now, I pray, in Your name. Move now as He leads.